Several months after John Brown's raid, there was another shock to the White South, and that came in the form of a series of unexplained fires in Texas. These fires were attributed to slaves who, like John Brown's followers, had in mind a general slave insurrection. There were fires in other parts of the South as well, and this helped feed this growing feeling that the White South was under siege. John Brown's raid, these fires in Texas, there was tremendous emotional capital invested in these kinds of things, and these events had a direct impact on the upcoming election of 1860. William L. Yancey of Alabama, one of the most extreme secessionist fire eaters, the fire eaters were way over toward one end of the political spectrum in the South. They were men who insisted on state rights, insisted on a very strong defense of slavery, the right to take slaves wherever you wanted to take them in the United States. Fire eaters were agitators who were always pushing and pushing against any perceived threat from the North, always trying to rally whites in the South to take the strongest possible stance in favor of slavery and in favor of Southern state rights. Well, William Yancey was one of these men, an Alabamian, and he persuaded the Alabama Democratic Party in January 1860 to instruct its delegates to the upcoming National Presidential Convention to insist that the National Democratic Party give complete protection to slavery in the territories. He said, if they don't give us that, if the Democratic Party does not go on record as absolutely protecting our right to carry our slave property into all the federal territories, we should walk out of the convention and refuse to be part of it. There was ample evidence at the time that several other Southern states would follow Alabama's lead. So in the fall of 1859 and on into early 1860, in the summer of 1860, there is a good deal of quite volatile sectional emotion at work, and there is this group of fire eaters in the South who are going to make their pitch for a very strong stance in favor of slavery with the Democratic Party. Let's move on now to the conventions that selected presidential nominees in 1860, and we'll start with the Democrats, the great majority party since the time of Thomas Jefferson. The Democratic Party had always been the majority party, had elected more presidents than anyone else, had controlled Congress to a far greater degree than anyone else. Here the Democrats are in 1860 in this volatile year, and they're meeting in one of the worst imaginable places, Charleston, South Carolina, which is among the most radical of the hotbeds of Southern sentiment. It's not a location conducive to calm debate. When the delegates met, they were immediately confronted with the choice of choosing between two platforms. The Yancey platform was put forward, which called for a slave code plank, an absolute protection of slavery in the territories. The rival platform was what was called the Douglas platform. It was named after Senator Stephen A. Douglas of Illinois, the most prominent Democratic politician in the country at this point. The man who defeated Abraham Lincoln in a famous senatorial election in Illinois in 1858. The Douglas platform was much more moderate than the Yancey platform. It called for popular sovereignty holding sway in the territories, that is, allowing the people of the individual territories to vote and decide whether they wanted to have slavery within their borders or not. And coupled with that, the Douglas platform promised to abide by a definitive decision from the Supreme Court on the question of whether the territories would be able to decide their own fate regarding whether or not they would have slavery. Northern Democrats would not go farther than the Douglas platform. That's it. We were not willing to give more than that, they said. We're willing to let the court decide. We're willing to embrace popular sovereignty, but we will not do what the Yancey platform asks us to do. The two platforms came up for a vote, and the Douglas platform won on an almost straight sectional vote, with Northerners voting for the Douglas platform, Southerners voted for the Yancey platform. 49 delegates from 8 Southern states walked out of the convention, and they met in another hall. They adopted the Yancey platform, and they waited to see what would happen. Stephen A. Douglas proved unable to get 2/3 of the remaining delegates to support his platform. You needed 2/3 in the Democratic Party. That had been a sop to the South as well, because it protected the South against just a strict majority, which the North almost always would be able to have. The convention, in the end, after 57 ballots,